Before we get into today's Reddit stories, I first of all need to tell you about one of my other favorite Reddit podcasts out there, the OKOP Show. If you guys are looking for even more daily Reddit content, then the OKOP Show with John and Sam is perfect for you. Just search for the letters OKOP wherever you get your pods.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What is going on, everyone, and welcome back to the channel. I hope you're all doing well. Now, today I've got for you some phenomenal revenge stories, starting with a crazy story of revenge prawn that has a couple of amazing updates. Now, the beauty of this story is how fresh it is. I've literally just logged on to Reddit now and got it. It's posted like a couple of hours ago, the whole thing. So if you want the newest and best stories, this is the channel for you. If you haven't already subscribed, make sure you are subscribed before we get into this one. Without further ado, here we go. Threaten my friend with revenge prawn, I'll ruin your whole dang life. My very good friend made some slightly dumb mistakes and sent some pictures to someone that she reasonably thought she could trust, but not knowing much more than his first name, his screen name, and roughly where he lived, and the type of work he did. He is not in our country, but had indicated that he would be traveling for work to near us shortly, and they'd made some plans to meet. And when she got some red flags and backed out, the dude threatened to publish these pictures online. I am, incidentally, an attorney. So, some searching later and gathering up any pictures he sent her of him that could possibly identify him, his online handle led me to a TikTok page, which led me to an Instagram page with his name on it. That led to a LinkedIn page with his place of work that matched a picture he sent with a branded polo he was wearing. Some more searches got me the email of the CEO, the VP of HR, operations manager, and the public relations manager. I just fired off an email on behalf of my client of the screenshots of him threatening revenge prawn, snippets of the conversation showing that username while he sent that exact picture of him wearing his company's branded apparel, links to how I know it's him, along with pictures he sent her of his motorcycle with the license plate showing, as further proof that it is him. I also included screenshots of him discussing a workplace incident that were timestamped, along with pieces of dialogue discussing how he had sex with an ex at his place of work, and discussing plans to have sex with her in his office as well. I also included a picture he sent her showing his work laptop with his entire Outlook calendar, along with proprietary information, which he sent to prove he was busy, along with other pictures he took of his workplace with non-consenting employees. I further informed his employer that I will be forwarding all this information to local, to them, law enforcement. And since he'd indicated that he'd be traveling to the US soon, we'll also forward this to the local office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. As, since my client is a US citizen on US soil, these threats constituted a federal crime, so that should they continue with his employment and continue with their plans to send him to the United States for work, I will ensure, on behalf of my client, that federal law enforcement is waiting for him on arrival. Which I will do, as one of the assistant US attorneys for this region is a law school buddy of mine. Since I have his license plate, I know where he lives and will be contacting his local authorities tomorrow. You dumb mother effer, thinking you were hiding around anonymity, thinking you could threaten my friend? It took me 45 minutes to destroy your life. Okay, so I'm recording this on the 5th of April, 2024. What I've just read there was posted on the 4th of April in the morning, and there is an update to come, phenomenally, which was posted literally just a few hours ago at the time of recording this. Now, before we get into that, I just want to give my initial thoughts. Yeah, I mean, what else can you say really other than, you know, F around and find out? If you're going to try something like this and you're not clever and you're leaving clues and hints as to who you really are, in the modern day with technology, it's really not that hard to do a little bit of digging. I mean, yes, you've got unlucky, I guess unlucky in air quotes here, that the person that you're doing this to has a friend who's a good lawyer. But I mean, anyone could do this. It's not that hard. If you're leaving clues like this, it's so easy to find who you are, where you live, who you work for, etc., etc. And you've just ruined your entire life. What for? For threatening something stupid like this? Really? Was it worth it? Obviously not. I mean, you deserve it, absolutely, but he's just so dumb. Then again, he's probably not expecting this sort of level. I would love to see his face as he realizes this unravels. I mean, we're going to get into the update right now to see what happens next, but my word, imagine this. You send off a threat online, think nothing of it, think, oh, I'm so clever and anonymous here and I'm going to get what I want. And then the following happens. Let's get into the update. Okay, now let's get into the update of that one, posted just 22 hours ago at the time of recording. Like I said in the intro, this is a very fresh story. So, barely 12 hours later, this happened. Before I get into the update though, I want to clarify a few things from my original post, primarily about the contact to the employer and why. Some questioned its truthfulness. While the entire story is true, some details were omitted for various reasons. There was more she and I had in our possession that did positively identify this individual. So, would a lawyer contact his employer, like some stated would not be done? Well, it depends. I did not do what I did on behalf of a client who retained me. I did it as a friend to help a friend. And as her friend, who was also a labor and employment law attorney, I knew exactly how to squeeze this. And here is the thing. I was absolutely aware from the onset that the revenge prom threat would go nowhere with his employer. Even if I could clearly lay out how the person with this screen name was in fact this person who works at that company, all we had were screenshots. If it was just the revenge prom threat, any employer would go, well, thank you for bringing it to our attention, but even if we accept our employee uses this screen name and we neither confirm nor deny anyone of that name works here, we have no provenance on this. This is just an alleged screenshot of an alleged conversation that could be easily edited and manipulated. Please feel free to pursue this with local authorities, and rest assured, should we be asked to, we will cooperate fully with any law enforcement inquiry, but we have no further comment at this time. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. These days, it's so easy to edit absolutely anything, and I guess that's why a company couldn't really use it. And I know that's what they would say, because that's exactly what I would say. An alleged screenshot of an alleged conversation that was allegedly sent under an alleged username that's allegedly one of our employees, whatever, dude. Call the cops if you're worried about it. We'll answer them honestly if they come to us. So no, the issue wasn't the revenge prom threat. It was the picture of the contents of the work laptop, because that can't be faked. There's no way of her or me to create a false image of the actual proprietary information on his work computer unless he sent it. There is no way for me or her to have possession of images taken of his co-workers without their consent unless he sent them. The proof here wasn't that this person broke the law, it's that he sent pictures of company employees and property which would absolutely be verifiable by their IT department that yes, this absolutely is his laptop. That's what would get him fired. So I advised my friend not to block him, to sit back and wait and not respond to anything but let him dig himself deeper. And respond he did. Oh, and one more update, he's been fired. So with now definitive proof that the individual in the online conversation is in fact this person, we'll forward it all to the local authorities in his country, along with his license plate number. They are more than capable of getting his home address. Well, OP, fair play to you. It's one thing me saying at the end of the first post, you know, it's easy to do this now to track people down online. It's another thing doing it legally and making sure you know exactly what you're doing and then carrying out what you want to happen so well to, as you say, yeah, completely destroy this guy's life very fairly and very justly in just, what, 45 minutes? I don't really get why people need an extra explanation. I think you explained it perfectly at the start, OP. There are a few weird comments down below. Apparently people were confused. I wasn't confused. I think you explained it perfectly well. And yeah, it was just really well executed from start to finish. Definitely the most professional nuclear revenge that I've seen. Normally we get some crazy stuff that is either bordering on illegal or is just very illegal. This was nuclear because it absolutely destroyed someone's life, but it was so professionally and expertly done, it doesn't even feel nuclear. It just feels...
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Right. Okay, now let's move on to our next story of nuclear revenge. How about this for a title? Didn't really want to post on this account, but it's the only one that met the karma requirements. Not too much given away there.
Let's go.
Okay, bear with me. I'm dyslexic and struggle with writing. Me and my girlfriend moved up to a remote little town a year ago. It's so peaceful and amazing. Best decision of our lives. We were looking at places to buy and we came across a house that was pretty bad. The foundation was collapsing, the roof was collapsing, there was a rodent problem, but it was on 10 acres or something close to that, a beautiful plot of land. My girlfriend falls in love with this place. It's 215,000. Yeah, not gonna go for something that's that bad. I work construction and I don't want to come home to then work again. Now, my girlfriend's friend, let's call her Patricia. Sounds like a female dog name. I never bothered trying to remember her real one. Offered to buy the place and then sell it to us later. Yeah, no. She said we'll talk about it, but I stand on a hard no, and then my girlfriend tells Patricia no. Patricia and her boyfriend, Mitch, that's his actual name. I don't care if he sees this. In fact, I hope they do. Wow, that is a rarity for someone on Reddit to say, no, that is his actual name. No fake names here, and I hope you see this. Already bought the house, thinking we'd buy it from them for more than the 215K. But okay, cool. My girlfriend has her friend moving out here that she's known since she was 3. I told them that if they buy the materials and the tools, and I keep the tools when they're done, I'll do the work for them for no additional costs, because I lost all my tools when we moved. Now, this Mitch guy trashes all over me about how he works in finance and doesn't need any help. Okay, whatever. I tell him what he needs to work on first because there are major issues, but I get pooped on again. Okay, let's talk about my girlfriend now. So she has PTSD, BPD, and a couple of other things that I don't remember off the top of my head. She struggles to make friends, so this is a big deal for her. She is super excited. So when they get here, they don't visit her. They don't give any idea that they talk every day and every night. But then they get here and they block her on everything. It absolutely destroys her because she doesn't understand what she did wrong. Now, they were upset and were cussing her out because she apparently tricked them into buying the place. She didn't. I told them not to because I was never going to say yes. Now, fast forward a year or so. They're on Facebook complaining about all the issues that I pointed out were issues they'd need to fix. So this actual crackhead Mitch is cussing us out. Now, I am just tired of this point. So I call the city and pretty much rat them out. I say they have plumbing issues, electrical issues, the roof and the floor is caving in, support issues, rodent problem, all of which can get it condemned. So guess what happened? I made a complaint and got it condemned. Then I went to his place of work and filed a report with corporate about his drug issues because he's a financial advisor at a bank and I don't think he should be anywhere near anyone else's money. I hope they enjoy $215,000 worth of debt with no job and nowhere to stay because I'm done getting cussed out and having them drag my girlfriend's name through the mud because they thought they could jack up the price and sell it to us. Damn, what great friends they must be, trying to buy a house for you, but in reality, just charge you more than the original price of the house. Terrible people. What I hope is that when the bank gets hold of this house, repossesses it, that they kind of, I don't know, look to resell it to somebody like you for less than the original price. I think what you'd then probably have to do is just knock it all down and start again. It sounds like there are so many issues here that aren't even worth bothering with. So maybe you'd have to do that and it probably would be a lot of work. If you can make it work and the price is not too expensive, it does sound like it's a beautiful property. And I feel like you've gone through enough now to warrant that level of extra effort if you can be bothered. But yeah, as for the story, just from what I've read, all I can say is that they're just terrible people. Imagine that, saying, oh, I can't wait to move to your town. It's going to be so fun. We're talking every night, like so excited to come down, spend loads of time together. And also, I'm doing you such a favor by buying this house for you. We'll be in it for a short time. Then look, we'll sell it to you for a cheaper price. Just we'll make sure it's ready for you and no one else gets it. Then just blocking them and saying, oh, actually, you can't have the house. And also, why did you force us to buy it? Great friends right there. Not going to pay me overtime? Think again. I was discussing this sub with a good friend and he said, boy, have I got a story that will fit. Now, it wasn't his story, but his brother's. And I sat with him and got the details. Buckle up, it's a good one and a long one. Let's call him Bob. Bob has been fiddling with computers since he was a kid and knows them pretty well. As with most IT people, he's moved from job to job. The employee he worked for was a service slash distribution company and there were 2 IT employees. The company was located in Ontario, Canada. About 3 years ago, Bob's employer decided to modernize their software. They had separate programs for dispatching, for inventory, for payroll and finances, and it was complicated moving information from one program to the other. They decided to get an ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning Program, and Bob recommended one that he knew inside out from a previous employer. For those of you who don't know, an ERP program handles everything. purchase orders, sales, inventory, personnel, vendors, customers, all of it. You can run a report and find out which customer has bought the most part ABC in the last year, which salesman has improved his numbers the most, which vendor has the fastest delivery time, which shipper packed the most orders. Everyone in the company used the ERP program, but it was very complicated, and they used the aspects of it that related to their position. For example, the receiver would accept a shipment, verify the quantity, confirm it was received, and the inventory stats would be available to the salespeople if they wanted to look up how many were on hand. The receiver didn't care what the price was or who the vendor was, he just did his job. Now, Bob was run ragged during the implementation process, but he managed to train most of the employees on their aspects, and after a few months, everything was running fairly smoothly. Bob still got tickets for tweaks in the operation of the software and occasional hardware IT issues. Then the company decided to expand their footprint and was marketing into different time zones. That messed things up. Atlantic Canada is 90 minutes early, so if someone sent an email or an order at 8 a.m. their time, it would arrive at 6:30 a.m. Ontario time. Pacific Canada is 3 hours late, so an email sent at 3 p.m. Vancouver time would arrive at 6 p.m. This stretched out the day, so many staff came in early and worked late. Bob would arrive at 8 a.m. and there'd be people that demanded his immediate assistance and were annoyed that he didn't respond instantly, even though their requests were submitted before his start time. Same with later in the day. His phone would ring at dinner time with people that wanted help right now. They decided to stagger his and his IT colleague's shift times. Bob would start at 6 a.m. and work until 2:30, and his colleague would start at 10:30 a.m. and work till 7. Bob's colleague had kids and refused the shift change. The employer insisted, the colleague quit. That meant that Bob was the only person in the IT department. The employer said they'd looked to hire a new IT guy, but they had trouble finding one that knew the ERP system, and they were offering well under a market value salary. Bob asked for a raise and was denied. Then he wanted overtime, and the employer told him that as an IT specialist, he was exempt from overtime laws in Ontario. Bob looked it up, and the employer was correct. This went on for some time, and he knew lots of IT people socially. They told him what the company was offering, and Bob knew that they wouldn't find another tech. Things went downhill from there. Bob would get chewed out if he missed a call or an email, no matter what time it came in. He had to train new hires in the ERP system, as well as take care of the hardware. He asked repeatedly for better compensation, and was denied, so he planned to get a new job. Now, here is the revenge. Bob had access to the entirety of the ERP program. When a user signed in, the time was logged, and even if they didn't sign out, after 15 minutes, it would log them out anyway. Everyone in the company was on salary, and many of them came in early and stayed late. Ontario labor laws states that even salaried workers are entitled to overtime after 44 hours a week, unless they were managers or supervisors. So Bob jumped into the program and ran a report for each employee that wasn't a manager, all the way back to when the ERP program was started. Then he reached out to an employment lawyer and got the okay to refer employees to him. Bob lined up another job, and after he left, every employee in the company got an email with an Excel sheet showing the hours they had put in past 44 hours a week. The subject line said, "You're legally entitled to overtime pay," and in the body of the email was the lawyer's name. The poop hit the fan. Almost every employee authorized the lawyer to negotiate with the company on their behalf, and the company had to pay a ton of money. All the company had to do was pay Bob for the extra work he put in. Instead, they had to pay almost everyone. Okay, great revenge, I'm not gonna lie, but my main takeaway from this, my main emotion, is just feeling bad for just all the employees in general to work for this horrible company. Bob, obviously, on the one hand, having to do not just two people's jobs, but more like, it seems like 5 or 6. I mean, those shift times are ridiculous, and he is the only one that knows how this all works. That is such a specialized role that he's not even being paid for properly at all. I mean, it's not even close, it sounds like. And then all the other employees who were doing overtime, but then haven't been getting paid for it. What if Bob had never done this? They would have just done all those hours and never been given the money for them? It's ridiculous. So yeah, I mean, shout out Bob for helping out so many employees that were just being completely manipulated and just not given what they deserved. It's just sad that it had to come to that. Crazy. Pay the man the money he's worth for his skill, and this would never ever have happened. But then again, you could also say just pay the employees what they deserve and are owed for the overtime, and they'll probably be more happy as well, and it would just, you know, contribute to a much better working environment, and the company would probably do way better because of it. I don't know. It's just a weird one. I feel like it's backwards policy from a company like this, just trying to, you know, scrimp and save money, when in reality, you're expanding, you're clearly doing well. Pay your staff more, and they'll pay it back to you in terms of output. And yeah, the company will just do better. I don't know. It's just weird business practice, isn't it, really? But great revenge nonetheless. Anyway, guys, that is going to do it for this one. Let me know down below, which of these three stories did you enjoy the most? I want to hear your thoughts, because, you know, if you let me know which one you enjoyed the most, then I'll look to read those sort of stories in the future on future episodes. So yeah, let me know, and I'm interested to see what you guys have to say.